Howdy, folks. Welcome to the Snowy's Camping Show. Joined as usual by myself, Ben, and my colleague, Lauren. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just in auto drive for the intro. Now, let's just get past the intro and get into the
episode.
A lot of podcasts just have like a same intro pre-recorded.
Let's talk about that.
We go to the effort of personalizing. We say it's personalized.
You get a personalized intro, Snowy's Camping Show listeners.
It's the same thing. Recorded live, followed by a bit of trash talk before we finally get into the episode.
It is.
Every time. So, let's not drop our standards. Anyway, if you haven't already done so, subscribe. Please subscribe via our YouTube channel, or you can jump in on the conversation at the Snowy's Camping Banter Facebook group. Jump in there, ask to join. There's a big community of really knowledgeable people in there now talking about all things camping, hiking, four-wheel drive, and caravan. And today we're talking about something that kind of covers off a little bit of all of those, which is off-grid communication. Raised in a Q&A, we did two Q&A sessions recently, and there's a few things that we sort of briefed over and said that probably warrants its own
episode.
So this was one of those. So here we are turning that question into an episode. We did an episode some time ago now, 49, back in double digits, because we're well into triple digits now, on PLB comparisons, which I haven't looked back on it. I think it would still be relatively relevant.
I think so, yeah. It is relatively relevant. And we did touch on some of the things here as well. But again, that was literally sort of around, I'm dying. What do I press to survive?
That's what a PLB is, not communicating. It's come help me. But this one, we're talking about options around actually communicating back and forth, either with people you know or with emergency services departments, to get help or support in a remote location.
Yeah.
So the most obvious one, which I think most four-wheel drive or four-wheel drives who are traveling outback or long distances should have anyway, is a CB, citizen band, which is I think refers to the old 27 meg network, or
most relevantly
a UHF radio. CB is just kind of a name that's stuck.
Yeah.
But UHF, which is ultra high frequency radio. Good for short range communication. And the question always comes up around how far will it go, but there's so many variables in how far UHF radio will go. And we should talk about our episode with GME. We did.
Yes, actually, that's a really good point. Yeah.
GME. I don't have the number in front of me, but we've covered off a little bit.
No, it'll be in show notes.
Have a listen to that, because he covers off on some technical things in there. But it comes down to different aerial sizes and the terrain that you're in and the weather as to how far that will go. But it's really important for short range communication. Hopefully you're within vicinity of someone else with a radio who might then be able to communicate with someone else with a radio, who'll eventually have a phone or someone who can help you.
Admittedly, though, depending on the absolute stonken aerial you've got strapped to your bull bar, you can go a significant distance. But when we say sort of short distance communication, we're not talking like, you can, call your mum in Adelaide when you're in northern Western Australia. But you can, in terms of radio frequency communication, that can be very long distance.
Well, depending on where you're in, you might be talking 500 meters to a kilometer, up to 6-10 kilometers if there's nothing in the way. So it depends on your setup and the power of the radio.
Old fashioned radios or whatever, you could talk to somebody on the other side of the country, like School of the Air. That's all done via radio. But what sort of radio is that? I don't really know anything.
You've gone and put me right on the spot.
Sorry.
There. Well, it's a much larger aerial and probably a more powerful radio.
Yeah. But you're not going to have that in your car, are you?
Well, no, you can put HF radio in your car, which goes much further. But I don't know the details of HF radio. It's not something I've ever had in my car.
And I'm assuming that that's like a permanent install.
It is a permanent install.
It's a big tree trunk of an aerial on you.
Big thumping aerial on the car, those big chunky aerials that you see, that's HF radio. And I believe there's a cost involved in being part of the network there, which is monitored by volunteers, I believe. I'm talking out of my actual area of knowledge here with HF radios, but you do get much further communication.
If you're someone who knows about HF, jump in either on the Facebook or on YouTube in the comments, because it'd be cool. But
UHF, you can get significantly long distances if you're using a duplex station and you're in the vicinity of a repeater. You're just communicating with that repeater, which is then communicating with the next repeater. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming School of the Air and those sort of things are set up with a network that actually works like that
to communicate
back and forward. So, but it gets quite technical and we're not going, we already have.
Yeah.
We're not going to go down that path in this episode, but check out the GME episode 4. For a bit more detail there.
But I guess in terms of communication requirements, like if you're someone who has, say, like a PLB, which you've got for your SOS and your emergency things, you can then have a UHF radio. If you've got that on hand, you can scan, you can get through to somebody. Maybe that somebody has the ability to call emergency services and let them know what channel you're on and that you've pressed the that gives you a level of communication that you don't get just from a straight up PLB.
Particularly if it's not a life-threatening situation. Yeah. You may have a vehicle issue on the side of the road, but you've got food, you've got water, you've got shelter, you can bunker down there for a little bit. That's not an emergency situation that requires emergency services to come and rescue you, but you can hopefully communicate with a nearby vehicle, potentially a roadhouse or a vehicle that can then communicate with the roadhouse to get help out to you. If it gets to the point where you've run out of food and water and you've not been able to speak to anyone for a week, then it might be time to pull out the PLB.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So the next option is connecting to your satellite options. So they're going to be portable. Mm-hmm. Your satellite phone or your messaging services or what have you, but there is an associated cost. So something like your CB and your UHF, whatever, there's not an associated cost other than the equipment that you buy.
Yeah, right? Except for the HF, I think there is, but UHF there is.
But UHF, CB, there's no cost in terms of using it, but then there are limitations there depending on the level of communication that you want. So then your next step is going to be satellite options.
Yep.
You know, saying this though, the standard phone network is pretty good in Australia and it's getting better. So I think, I reckon about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, my grandparents bought a satellite phone because pretty much anywhere they went, they had no phone signal. Whereas today, I don't really need it.
I think if you've got a PLB and when we traveled, we had a mobile phone, one on Telstra, one on Optus.
Yep.
And that covered us for most of the country and a few spots that we couldn't. If something happened, we had a PLB if we needed it.
Yeah.
But if you're always in really remote locations and you need communication straight away without fail, then satellite phone, which is basically a mobile phone on the satellite network.
So the satellite, now I'm not a satellite guru, obviously, but from my understanding, there are a couple of different satellite networks. There's one that's prime or satellite network that's prime for communication and one that's for navigation or networks that are sort of different. I think you can use them both, or like Iridium, which is the primary communication satellite network. I'm pretty sure you can still use that for, you know, location and navigation and things like that, but it's primarily used for communication. So things like your satellite phones will, most of them will connect with Iridium, and like Telstra use Iridium, and I think Optus use Thuraya, which is a different communication satellite network.
So that's set up for actual calls back and forward.
Yeah, it's like using a mobile phone, voice communication, and things like that. Your satellite phones are going to be, and your navigation is like your GPS, obviously, classic.
Yep.
Then there's GLONASS, which is a Russian-based satellite navigation system.
Yep. And the COSPAS.
And then there's the COSPAS SARSAT, which is the PLB sort of based system. And then there's like Galileo, I think, is another navigation-based one. So there's a whole range of, like, when you think about it, space around Earth is just like a junkyard of satellites.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And those navigation things are used to pinpoint your location. Yeah. So it's going to help you either navigate with the device or help someone to locate you via the device, like a GPS, which here in Australia generally uses COSPAS SARSAT, sends signals to the GPS, and then they can pinpoint your location. But you can't talk with a PLB.
So satellite phones are bloody expensive.
Yeah.
They're like around $1,000 or more. Like I've seen some that are like $3,000. So they're really expensive. And well, you don't have a subscription with satellite phones. They have a SIM card, like a normal one. Yeah. So you can have a prepaid phone plan, or you can do like a phone plan or pay as you go sort of, you know, prepaid or whatever.
But you pay a lot.
But you pay a lot. I think it works out to like $1 to $2 per minute of a phone call. Mm-hmm. So it's not like that would be your option if you just, you know, you're out traveling around the country and you just want to call your mum and have a yarn for 50 minutes. That's not going to be a really great option for you. But again, being a satellite option, you don't have roaming charges. You can use it anywhere around the world. Yeah. But unless you're somebody who is traveling all the time and does a lot of voice calling, probably not heaps.
Probably overkill.
Probably not a great investment.
Yep.
Like if you're someone who's FIFO, like companies that run mining operations or exploration, whatever, where they're having to communicate via all voice or workers or the phone or oil rigs or sure. But for your average recreational camper, traveler, mm-hmm. full driver, I feel like they're probably a bit overkill in this day and age.
Yeah. I reckon there would be costs associated with keeping that SIM card active as well. There's probably, I know in some instances there's a monthly ongoing cost.
Yeah.
Which doesn't always work if you only travel once a year.
Yeah. So I know what you're saying.
It's a bit more maintenance behind that. But yeah. So if you're not, like you say, if you're not remote every month of the year,
yes.
Probably not worth the investment. There are other ways you can get around it to make sure you're safe.
So those other ways are the satellite-based communicators, which I think is the broad category. They can have a range of different functions depending on the brand and the provider. So the main ones, like we sell the Zoleo and the Spot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a messaging one and just a normal communicator thing one. Mm-hmm. And then another one that gets brought up all the time is the Garmin InReach.
Yep.
Which I think is we don't stock the Garmin InReach, but it seems to be really popular with not necessarily like four-wheel drivers or caravanners, but more like hikers. Adventurers, hikers, trail runners, people doing more outdoor adventure-y stuff that might already rely on a Garmin system with their watches for tracking activities and things like that. But still seems to be a good investment even if you're not that type of person.
So these, and they're all a little bit different and we're not going into too much detail here, but these basically combine the above with the exception of the radio.
Yeah, they don't, but they're not voice. You can't make phone calls. Voice, it's messaging.
But you can, so back and forward messaging, text messaging, SMS.
Yep.
And there is some form of emergency PLB like type function on it.
Yep.
And they all use one of, depending on which device you get, they're on whatever satellite network they've chosen to pair with, and they come with fees as well. And
they do
kind of have some fees where you can keep it active but go on the very basic low plan. I think Zoleo has got like $5 a month or something just to keep it active. And then when you go to use it, you can step up to pay for that period when you're away and then go back again. But there are costs associated. It's like a subscription.
Yeah. And they all vary. And in my experience, especially from times working with customer support, it can change. Like you look it up and then 6 months later they would have tweaked it or, you know, changed the costs or the, you know, so it's hard to say, you know, in this episode right now, this is how much this one costs, this is how much this one costs. But there are things like a minimum activation period. One might be like you have to sign up for a subscription for 1 month, but then I think Zoleo potentially is still 3 months. But then after that period, you can have a subscription that is cheaper, but you have to pay for it all the time. But then if you pay for a subscription that's higher, you can deactivate it and activate it, pick and choose when you want to do it. So just really look into those. But I think the reason why they're great is, for example, the Zoleo one, which is becoming more and more popular, I think, because the user interface is just super easy, but it works through an app on your mobile phone. Mm-hmm. So you just have your little Zoleo device, but you use your mobile phone as normal and it just relays through this device. You can do emails, messaging back and forth. There's like a whole range of different options available to you and it's very user-friendly.
Multiple network connections, mobile, Wi-Fi, satellite, like it uses things like multiple connections.
But then they also come with like a GPS tracking thing. And then you have like your Spot Messenger, I think is more like, you know, those old, is it Blueberry? BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah, BlackBerry, yeah. Yeah, with they had the whole keypad
Blueberry.
On it.
Yeah. Yeah, BlackBerry. It's like a little keypad on it. That's what the Spot Messenger has, that little tiny keypad, and that's how you message back and forth. And then that also has like an occasional GPS ping. So even if you don't want to message somebody, if family have a link to that or whatever, it's like a URL and they can look up and see where you've been and look at your tracking and stuff. And I'm pretty sure Garmin has the same thing. They all sort of offer the basic same sort of thing, but the user interface and how you interact with it is going to be different. And of course, those subscription fees. So it's sort of like which one you go with really depends on what you need and how you want to use it. If you're someone like who uses your smartphone all the time and that's your main way of going about it, then something like Zoleo might be great.
The choice between Zoleo and Spot's probably a personal choice, but probably the bigger choice is which of all these navigation options or communication options do you run with? Because we've got radio, sat phone, PLB, and now the communicator, which kind of combines them all. In my opinion, and what I run with is just a UHF radio and a PLB. I figure I can cover most bases in that respect. If I was doing a lot of solo travel, solo hiking, solo adventuring, I'd probably look at one of the sat-based communicators. And what I like about that is you can preset messages in most of them and it's just a check-in.
Yeah.
Every day I'm just going to check in.
Yeah.
But if one day you don't check in, that you've told the people that you're – so when I say check-in, it sends a message to family, someone who knows you're doing
like
this.
Like a preset message,
at this time each day, I expect them just to check in.
Arrived at camp, all good.
If something happens during the day, you're knocked out, you're lying on a trail somewhere, you don't check in that night, that prompts them to think something's happened.
Yeah.
I better send someone something out. Or you can actually have another preset message that says, I'm in trouble, please send help.
Yeah.
And they can, emergency services can then pinpoint that device. So it gives you that little bit of, I guess, comfort with that checking in with someone. And it could be that you don't necessarily need emergency services, but I'm in trouble and I need help, but I don't need help now, maybe in 2 or 3 days. And you can have a message that says,
I'll meet you at this location or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So. Or even just a simple thing of these are my GPS coordinates. I've got a flat tire. Can you call somebody in the local town, give them this information and get them to meet me here with XYZ?
The PLB doesn't give you that option. A PLB is full-blown help or no help.
And some also just double check with those things like the sat-based communicators, because I know, for example, Zoleo, you can get your GPS coordinates, but it's not available in every subscription option. Or there's only a certain amount of GPS coordinates that you can be given or provided to within a month or, you know, just things like that. So just be really aware of what communication you want to do and therefore what then is going to be the best option for you.
Think about maintaining it as well. The sat-based communicators, you're going to need to recharge batteries as you go, particularly if you're using it to track. Like Spot, you can, people can log in to see where you are and have live updates on where you are, but that's going to chew through the battery. So you've got to think about how you're going to charge that up as well. Whereas a PLB, you've got 7 to 10 years of battery life.
Yes.
And then you replace it.
But no communication option.
No maintenance in between.
Another thing that's probably just worth mentioning with the premise that I know very little about it in the grand scheme of things because it's relatively new. That's something like Starlink.
That's quite popular now.
It's getting popular and a lot of people were starting to sort of get questions about it coming through. You know, I have family who own a business out in the, I don't know, what do you call that area out of Melbourne where it's like a spa region? Where there's lots of like health retreats and spas, and it's sort of like a cute little area.
Daylesford area.
And they don't have excellent, they don't have like, what do you call it? Like broadband and great mobile signal and whatever. And so Starlink's a really great option for them. But it's also, you can get a roaming Starlink, which is really great for caravanners and things like that. It's not something that I would invest in unless I was traveling full time. I don't think.
I think they give, if you want to watch telly and all those sort of things when you're remote, then Starlink gives you that basic, yeah, basic like NBN type connection.
Yep. You bet. It's basically like Wi-Fi wherever you go.
Yep. Good for people. I guess if you're working, traveling remotely and working and you need that, yep, reliable connection, then something like Starlink's a good option.
I think it's expensive. I had a quick look at it before we record the episode. It's between like $175 to $200 a month.
Right.
For a roaming Starlink Wi-Fi thing, mm-hmm, which – but I guess the reason why it's potentially worth considering if it suits your situation is that almost all forms of communication nowadays are done through Wi-Fi.
Mm.
Whether that be like Facebook Messenger, Zoom, like there's even, you know, you've got an Android phone, I've got an Android phone, and we message each other. It can be done via Wi-Fi. It doesn't have to be an SMS message. So it's like, you don't necessarily need to have any form of mobile phone / satellite coverage if you have Starlink. You know, a PLB for your emergency situations, sure, but you can video chat, you can phone call, you can message, yep, all over Wi-Fi if you have something with Starlink.
Yeah.
But the cost, I think, is prohibitive, and it's not something that you would take if you were going away for a week or, you know, if you're traveling around Australia, I would say it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I guess the costs are going to come down. It's not new, but it's relatively new.
It's only going to get cheaper for sure.
Get cheaper. But if you have used Starlink, then let us know, because I actually don't know a lot about it. I've seen a lot of bags for Starlink setups, and I've seen it set up in caravan parks and that sort of thing. But I've not actually used it or looked into it. So
I think it's also one of those things that, you know, I have heard some things about Starlink, about how the actual real life use case of it, it's not very great. You know, or connectivity isn't very great, or it's very finicky or temperamental or whatever. But again, like you said, if it's relatively new, it's only going to get better.
Mm.
And there's going to be a certain point, just like with, I don't know, any form of technology. All remember, the mobile phone
networks,
the internet. I don't know if I remember when I was a kid, if you wanted the internet, you had to like hook up the modem to your phone cable and then sit, yep, there while it made that dial up sound, and then it would roll over. And you know, yeah, like it's just now that's like, yeah, yeah. Does that, yeah, yeah, everybody know what knows what I'm saying.
Yep. So I guess in summary, I think we've gone over everything, haven't we?
Yeah,
we have, I reckon. Back of this page here.
That's okay. Oh, it was just the Starlink notes. Yeah.
So in summary, if you want a really basic setup, you don't have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to set things up, then look at a PLB. That's the
PLB absolute, and a UHF radio.
Yep. Even if you're hiking and you don't have UHF, just a PLB gives you peace of mind that if things go really pear-shaped, you can call for help. No ongoing maintenance apart from when you need to replace the battery and maybe test it once a year, mm-hmm, which has got a test function on there. It's a really simple and reliable way to get help.
Yeah.
If you want more communication, then yeah, you're going to need to step up a little bit, and probably the same cost as a PLB to buy a communicator, but then, mm-hmm, you're going to have ongoing monthly costs.
Yeah.
And if you are always remote, then have a look at HF radio or Starlink, or satellite phone setup.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be my summary.
Yeah. Probably me as well.
Cool. What do you have?
Actually, just my phone. I haven't realistically been remote enough for any periods long enough to warrant looking into something else. But I have been recently, because I'm starting to get back into multi-day hiking with my brother and things like that, and not always wanting to use my phone and things. So I have been looking into something like a Zolio, basically,
yep,
because even though that uses your phone, for somebody like me, I guess potentially it's a generational thing as well. I already use my phone for maps, GPS, a whole range of other things. So it just makes sense to get something like a Zolio, because it's not just another thing that I'm having to interact with and use. Yep. It's just extending the function of my phone that I'm already on.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I travel for 4 months and I use the UHF radio maybe once or twice, and the PLB didn't come out of my glove box because nothing happened. So
You had phone signal for most of the other.
Phone signal. There were spots where we didn't, but yeah, I didn't need to invest in a massive setup for a trip like that, because if I did, it would now be sitting in my car.
Yeah, not being used.
Unused, or in my garage, unused. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'd like to know, if you are somebody who travels, where you have had trouble with signal.
Yeah, it'd be
because
good.
Because for someone like me, I haven't really gone too many places where no phone signal is an issue. So I'd love to know where it is an issue and realistically what sort of scenarios and camping and adventuring is something that is going to require a satellite or additional communication option.
I remember a campsite in, where was it? Western Australia somewhere up north. I'm trying to think of it, near Denham. I can't think of the name of the national park up there. Anyway, there was no signal in the caravan, in the campsite, quite remote. But if I went up on the sand dune just next to the campsite, I got signal.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah.
So just a little bit higher and suddenly I got not as strong, but enough to get a call out if I needed it.
Yeah, cool.
Yep. Cool. Well, thanks for watching. Any questions or knowledge that you've got that you can add to what we've said? Because we've said a few times in this episode that we're not deeply experienced with the technical side of these things, but we can offer advice on what you might need. But please jump in and let the group know, because we can learn as much as everyone else can.
Absolutely.
So yeah, on the Snowy's Camping Banner Facebook group, you can jump in with your knowledge there. But that's it for this episode. Thanks again for watching. And that was a short one. We've done two episodes today in time frame it would normally take us to record.
We've recorded one, a couple, but they won't be published obviously together.
No. So we didn't have much banter today.
No.
Anyway, we'll wind up.
Catch you later.
See you later.